Admit it. You've made excuses for why you can't get together with friends, why you were late, and any number of things where you needed an out. Or like the guy who had stayed out too late the night before and emailed his boss that he had eaten some bad fish and wasn't feeling well, so he couldn't make it to work the next day. His boss replied, "I've known you for 10 years, and never in that time have I ever seen you eat fish. Get to work now." It's pretty easy to identify an excuse, especially when they don't align with what you know to be true. Sometimes it's because there's a hurt we're trying to avoid. And in the book of Proverbs from the Bible, there's a story of a young man who makes an excuse as to why he can't go outside. And it's because
there's a lion out there. So what was the pain that he was trying to avoid? The pain that you and I try to avoid when we don't want to deal with our own issues.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. When we make excuses to conceal the truth, it's as if we're harboring a lion in our hearts. This week, Charles Tapp continues the second part in his series, A Word to the Wise, by showing you how to remove this lion in your heart when you're afraid to confront what's true. With his message, Lionhearted.
Today we begin part two of our series that we titled A Word to the Wise. And whenever you hear that expression that is mentioned, a word to the wise, it's usually because someone is trying to share with another individual some important counsel that they feel that that individual is in desperate need of. So they title that idiomatic expression, A Word to the Wise. And if you break that expression down, the word is the counsel. The word is the advice that is given. But here's the tricky part. The wise is the person. The wise is not the counsel, but the wise is the person that is smart enough, that is wise enough to embrace that counsel and make that counsel a part of his or her life. So at the very heart of this expression, a word to the wise, is this thing that we call wisdom. And everybody has their own definition as to what wisdom is. Wisdom is taking the knowledge that years of experience give us, and it's using it wisely, it's using it effectively, and it's using it appropriately. But even though that may be the case, that's not the end when it comes to this thing called wisdom. Because true wisdom, dear friends, is more than knowledge, it's more than information, it's more than facts and figures. True wisdom comes when you and I as individuals recognize that God, the God of heaven, is sovereign over everything, including us. Who says amen to that today? Paul even counsels in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, listen, there is a wisdom of this age. It's a wisdom that man has. But then he says, but then there is this thing called the wisdom of God. And he refers to it as a mystery of God. And when you and I recognize that God is supreme, that God is transcendent, that he is the creator, and we're just the creatures, then the words of Proverbs 9:10 make a lot of sense when it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? God doesn't want us to be afraid of him, but God wants us to understand that he's God. And in our culture today, I really believe that we are missing out on that point. Many of us begin to think that we're God, and much of our religion today preaches that. That you're God. All you have to do is speak it into existence. Well, if I can speak something into existence, I must be in charge. And the one who is in charge is God. But true wisdom understands that I'm just a creature. And God, the great God of heaven, he is supreme. He is sovereign. He is transcendent. And all wisdom lies within his care. Amen. And as I mentioned in part one of our series, although the Bible from cover to cover is replete with wisdom, There is no book that has more wisdom contained within its pages than the book of Proverbs. No other book in Scripture reveals how to effectively and how to appropriately handle this thing called knowledge than does the book of Proverbs. And I love what the theologian A.T. Pearson says. He says, listen, what the Psalms are to our devotional life, the book of Proverbs should be to our everyday life. It should be that which we use every day of our lives to understand how to live a God-fearing life. And if you remember, Solomon, for the most part, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote most of the Proverbs. And it's like him being a father, a teacher, giving counsel to his son, not his biological son, but it's the aged one who has much experience giving counsel to the youth who has little or no experience. So when you look at any other book in the Bible, there is no other book than the book of Proverbs that was written especially for young people in mind. And that's when I hear young people say, oh, the Bible is boring, the Bible is boring, the Bible is boring. Okay, some of it is. The begats and so-and-so begat this person and so-and-so begat that person, that's boring. But the book of Proverbs was written for young people in mind. Because when you read Proverbs, it talks about everything on how to handle your business, how to handle your tongue, how to handle your thoughts, how to handle your lives, how to deal with relationships, everything on how to live the God-fearing life is in the book of Proverbs. I challenge our young people to read the book of Proverbs. It has 31 chapters, which means you can read one chapter a day and take an entire month and read the book of Proverbs. I challenge all of us to read the book of Proverbs. Parents, how about this? I challenge you to read the book of Proverbs with your young people. The amens kind of ceased, didn't it? Just went down a little bit. I challenge the parents to read Proverbs with your young people. Amen? But our focus of today's message is found in one verse in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. Look at what the word of God has to say. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. Amen? Let's read that again. There's what? The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. Now let's just pause for a moment. What in the world is a sluggard? A sluggard is a lazy, do-for-nothing, good-for-nothing person. That's the official definition of a sluggard. Look straight ahead. Don't turn to the right or to the left now. A sluggard is a do-for-nothing, good-for-nothing, lazy individual. So the sluggard, the lazy, good-for-nothing person, is saying that he or she can't go outside. Why? Because there is a lion outside. Some of you have already gotten this. Some of you are already down the road. There are two problems I have when I read this. Two problems develop very quickly. Number one, lions don't usually hang out in the streets. They hang out in the zoo. In a circus, maybe if one breaks loose, you may see one. But it says in the public square, meaning at the very heart of town. That's like saying, I'm afraid to go outside because there's a lion walking around the streets of D.C. The other problem I have is this. What does his fear of a lion have to do with the fact that he's lazy and good for nothing? You would expect the verse to say something like, the coward is afraid, right? To go outside because what? There's a lion in the street. And hey, change my name to coward. Because if there's a lion in the streets, I don't have to be the man. I'm going to be the coward. I'm going to stay inside. So change my name to coward, and I will wear it proudly today. Because sometimes being a coward, young people, can save your life. I will never forget when I was in school growing up in St. Louis, I was playing basketball one day. You know, I wasn't the greatest player. I wasn't the worst player, but I wasn't the greatest player. But one thing I did have, I had the ability to jump high. I could get the rebounds. And I remember one day going up for the rebound, and as I went up, my elbow hit this guy on his head. And of course, because I was brought up in a home where parents taught you manners, I said, oh, excuse me, I'm so sorry. He said, no, man, no. See, I didn't know this guy, but I later found out that his name was Rock. That's the only name we had for this guy was Rock. I don't know what his last name was. Maybe it was Rock. I have no idea. But his name was Rock. Rock had a bald head before it was popular to go bald. So when I hit Rock, instinctively I said, excuse me, man. He said, no, man. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out a knife. That's the way I felt too. And he stuck it in my face and he said, you want some of this? And at that moment, my entire life is just flashing before my eyes. I'm thinking, should I stand and be cool? Be the man? Or should I be the coward? I said, no, man, I don't want none of that. And I walked backwards before Michael Jackson. I was walking back. What are you talking about? Later on that day, we were in school, we were in class, and somebody looked out the door, and they said, man, Rock's waiting in the schoolyard for you, baby. I said, man, what should I do? Because if I call home and ask my mother to come, then she's going to come and pick me up, and I won't be able to come back to school. So you know what I did? God of heaven, Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, God, help me. When the bell rang and we went outside, Rock, God is my witness. I need to write a book because this is all true, I'm telling you. He was standing right there at the gate. I had to go through that gate to get home. He was standing there at the gate, and as I walked past him, he looked at me and did not see me. I wasn't going to stand around and give him a second look. I took off. You know, God helps, but God also helps those, you know, who got some wisdom. And I took off because I didn't mind being a coward, because sometimes being a coward can save your life. It says a coward being afraid to go outside because there's a lion in the streets. That makes more sense to me. Not a lazy man, not a good for nothing, do nothing person. Why would they be afraid? What does that have to do with them not wanting to go outside? Rendering it this way, the reaction matches the condition. The reaction being fear, the condition being he's a coward. You expect the coward to be afraid, amen? But when you read Proverbs 22:13, the reaction which is fear, don't miss this, is out of alignment with his condition, which is laziness. It doesn't match. So because the reaction fear does not match the condition, which is laziness, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the sluggard, the do-for-nothing, good-for-nothing, lazy individual is simply making an excuse to stay in the house. Because most times, think about it, I was thinking about it this week, most times when you and I leave home, it is for the purpose of work. Some kind of work. Whether it's working in the school, and you got, hey, what you guys do is work. Especially today, it's work. Well, pastor, why don't we get paid? It's not your job to get paid now. It's your job to pay so that one day you can get paid. But it's still work. Whether you're going to a 9-to-5 or to a 3-11, most times when you and I leave the home, it's to do some kind of activity. It is to engage ourselves in some kind of work. So the sluggard says, I can't go outside because there's a lion. He's just giving an excuse because he's lazy and he doesn't want to go to work. So instead of saying, I don't want to leave the house because I'm lazy, he says, I'm afraid to go out because there's a lion in the streets. Excuses.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Taff and his message, Lionhearted. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
I'm going to take a moment and just recommend that you breathe. Now, there are all kinds of breathing techniques that you can use. One is count to 10, you know, breathing in, count to 10, breathing out, kind of hold it in the middle, you know, breathing in His grace and breathing out His praise. Whatever you choose, breath is really important. And this time of year, you know, you may have a cold or you may have the flu and it's restricting your breathing. So you know just how important that is. God has given you that breath. In Acts, Paul wrote this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." And so take a moment and take a deep breath and stay encouraged.
To get more encouraging content, go to WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and when you're afraid to confront the truth by making up excuses, the book of Proverbs says you're allowing a lion to take residence in your heart. Charles Taff explains how to remove it and find freedom as he shares the rest of his message, Lionhearted.
One of my daughters, when she was at Sligo School, one of the wise teachers had them memorize this definition of excuses. It says, excuses are the tools of incompetence, which create monuments of nothingness. And those who specialize in them are seldom good for anything else. Excuses. So instead of dealing with his true condition, which was his laziness, he attempts to conceal it and manufacture an excuse that he feels will cover or conceal his true nature. And by the way, laziness is a sin. In Proverbs alone, 33 times it refers to laziness as being something that displeases God. And don't miss this. It wasn't the lion in the streets that he needed to be fearful of. It was the lion that was taking up residence in his heart that he needed to be fearful of. So in a way, I guess you could say he was lion-hearted. But Pastor, I thought that word lion-hearted meant brave and courageous. It does. But in this context, it doesn't mean that. In this context, you're lion-hearted when you try to justify with your mind the evil desires and nature of your heart. So he was trying to justify his laziness by saying, I can't go outside because there's a lion. He was trying to cover it up. By saying there's a lion in the streets, it was his attempt to justify in his mind, as well as in the minds of others, that his desire to stay at home had absolutely nothing to do with his condition. In other words, he was simply doing what many of us do today when we try to deceive ourselves into believing that the conditions of our hearts are not as bad as we know they are. And it's a dangerous thing, dear friend, to ignore the condition of one's heart. Look at what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, and then jumping over to verses 7 to verse 9. Turn there quickly. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 and verses 7 to 9. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who does what? Trusts in man, who draws strength from what? Mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now let's read verses 7 to verse 9. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is where? in him, talking about the Lord. Now let's look at verses 8 to 9. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are what? Always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to do what? Bear fruit. Look at verse, next verse. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and beyond what? Cure. Who can understand it? In other words, it's saying that it's desperately wicked, and who can know it? Who can know what? Who can know just how depraved the human heart is? And the answer is no one. No one. For the heart simply represents our sinful nature. And I love what the great 17th century theologian Blaise Pascal says. He says, the heart has its reasons which reason knows not. In other words, it's hard to figure out just what the heart is capable of doing. That's why it's dangerous, dear friends. And I cringe when I hear people say this. I hear individuals from time to time saying, you know what? I would never do that. And they usually say this when they see someone else is doing something that has embarrassed them or has brought them down to another level. And we stand by with our pompous attitudes. I would never do that. Really? I cringe when I hear people say that. I will never. I don't want to hang around with somebody who says, I will never. Because you don't know, you don't have any idea what the human heart is capable of. You have no idea of the depths to which our sinful nature can take us. There's no need for us to gloat or look down when we see somebody who has fallen. Our job is to do what? Lift them up. Because Paul says, there by the grace of God, so go we. So go we. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6, looking at verses 6 to verse 8. God has a word for the wise to the sluggard, and it's found in Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, you good for nothing, do for nothing, lazy person. Consider its ways, the ant's ways, and do what? Be wise. In other words, learn a word from the wise, from the ant. It has what? No commander, no overseer, or no what? Ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Why would God tell the sluggard to look at the example of the ant? You know, I have this habit. I don't know whether it's a bad habit or not, but it's a habit I have. Whenever I'm flying anywhere, and I stop in an airport, Ray, and I go to the bookstore, or the stores, and I always have to buy. I always buy a book about leadership or somewhere, some kind of book to improve myself. A couple of weeks ago, I was in an airport and I stopped in the bookstore again. And I always date my books, where I bought them, when I bought them, what circumstances I bought the book under. So I'll say something like, in BWI, such a date, purchased this book. And I signed my name. I bought a book on leadership, the 9 things a good leader needs to know. And as I'm on the plane reading this book, I turn to this page and it talks about this ant and how God is telling the sluggard, this good for nothing, no good, lazy person, to get a word from the wise from the ant. And I'm going, man, this is good because this is going to help me with my message. And here's how it helped me. There's more than one meaning to the word sluggard. Yes, it means lazy. Yes, it means good for nothing and all that. But another definition of the word sluggard, especially in this context, means one who's trying to avoid pain. Stay with me. Let's go back to Proverbs 22, verse 13. So the sluggard, the one who is trying to avoid pain, says, I can't go outside because what? There's a lion out there. So what was the pain that he was trying to avoid? The pain that you and I try to avoid when we don't want to deal with our own issues. So instead of dealing with our issues, we come up with excuses for our issues. Why I can't find a job because you haven't made any application for a job. Or the man is against me, so I can't get a job, but your best friend just got a job. So we come up with excuses instead of dealing with the issues of our hearts, because nobody wants to deal with those issues, because those issues are not flattering at times, dear friends. We make excuses for our lust, for our anger, for our laziness. We even make excuses for my tongue. Well, you just have to know that's just the way I am. So the sluggard is that one who tries to avoid the pain of dealing with his or her own condition. And in this case, the condition of the sluggard was that he was lazy, not that he was fearful. The fear was just a cover to not to expose his true condition. But the word to the wise is this. God says, don't try to avoid the pain of dealing with the issues in your heart, regardless of how big the issue is. And then he says, look at what the ant does. This major job that the ant has to do, it may seem overwhelming to him, but what does he do? He does it bit by bit by bit by bit until it's done. He makes no excuses for his condition. Here's the challenge. Because Jesus made it clear in the Sermon on the Mount that all of our issues are heart issues. Did you hear what I said? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. That's just my temperament. No, it's a heart issue. You just don't understand. This is how we're brought up. No, it's a heart issue. So here's the challenge. Only God can remove the lion from our hearts. And when he does it, he replaces it with a different kind of spirit, it says in Ezekiel 26, verse 26. And what kind of spirit is that? It is the spirit of another lion, the lion from the tribe of Judah. So being lion-hearted doesn't have to mean you're trying to cover your stuff. Being lion-hearted can mean you have given your stuff to God. And he has replaced that spirit with a spirit of his own. Amen? It's time to stop making excuses because of the things we do, the things that we say. It's time to stop blaming other people for who we are and what we've become. It's time to take inventory of the sinful condition of our hearts, knowing that everything comes out of the heart. For all the issues of life come from our natures. And we cannot subdue them. Only God and his spirit can do that. And Ezekiel promises us that God will give us a new heart and a new spirit, a new lion, so we can be courageous, so we can be lion-hearted. Not one who covers, but one who stands courageously, not in his or her own strength or in his or her own power, but stands in the strength of the Lord. Who says amen to that today?
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Lionhearted. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
We can make all the plans we want. They can be good plans. They can be grand plans. They can be plans we think God honors. But God says, listen, I've got a bigger picture.
Next week, you'll want to listen in as Charles Tapp wraps up the last part of this series, A Word to the Wise, with his message, The Heart of Wisdom. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.